Coming up, fair or foul, a couple arrested for tattooing their kids with crosses. Meanwhile, bankruptcy filings across the U.S. increased 32%. I thought things were looking up in 2010, just a few days into this. And are you shivering wherever you are huddled tonight? Winter could be the worst we've seen in 25 years. At least that's what a lot of the weather forecasters are saying. How cold is it where you are? We're going to talk about that stuff and so much more. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney here at the helm, of course, as always, with all of you from every nook and cranny across rather the globe, too. Big shout out to all the fans in Sweden and Spain. And I understand we have some people that are listening to us now in Italy. Isn't that really, really cool? How about this story over the weekend? The Reverend Rick Warren. You know, he has got that mega church in Southern California, Saddleback Church, and he must have incredible parishioners there, because this has happened before where he's raised money in a very, very short time. And remember, he's the author of A Purpose-Driven Life that is a bestseller, a runaway bestseller. And there are other things we could attach to Rick Warren. I think most people are familiar with him. But what was really interesting is he needed $900,000 by the end of the year. He needed the $900,000. Sent out a little plea for help over the internet, and lo and behold, he ends up with $2.4 million, pulling the trigger on something that was just, I mean, mind-blowing, I think, in such a short amount of time to turn around and have people sending, emailing in notes with donations. And then again, his own folks from the church, from Saddleback, chipping in, of course, as well. So I think it's a fascinating story. Gail Perry in the wings now joining us. She is a fundraising consultant. She's also written a book called Fired Up Fundraising. Boy, during a recession, I bet a lot of people could use some tips on that. Hey, Gail, thanks for hanging late with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, how you doing, Kate?
Good. You know, that when you saw that number, when you heard that story, what was, as somebody who understands fundraising, what was your initial response?
Well, I sort of fell out of my chair because I thought it was pretty amazing. You know, to ask for $900,000 and get $2.4 million, I didn't do the math, but I think he got an exponential response, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. What, I think he's popular, obviously, especially in his church. That's one thing. But he has international appeal, and that's what also happened with the Reverend. Because a lot of people sent things in just basically almost overnighted it when he sent out the SOS. Is that part of the deal? Was his appeal part of, you think, how it happened so quickly?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know how many followers he has, but he's bound to have people not only outside, in his own parish, but then all around the country and all around the world. But what's interesting to me is that he posted this apparently in a letter he posted on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just people reading his website. Apparently they have it bookmarked or something, and they got the message, and maybe perhaps the message went out virally and people started sending it to each other.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, no kidding. And that shows you the power, too, of the internet and websites, how the websites are the new calling card, I think, Gail, for everybody. You have to have at least some kind of a website, because you're right, that is the amazing part about this. Here's the other thing I wonder, because I've been involved in fundraising and tried to, you know, help various charities, and they always have goals, and, you know, they have big thermometers where they color in they hit. Well, this is such a quick turnaround. Does it work sometimes when there's sort of, this sounds funny to say, but like desperation, like the plea is out there, I'm begging for money, we need to do this. Do people just seem to respond when there's more emergency or urgency to it?
Yeah, I think you have to walk a real fine line, though, because you can't sound like you're a sinking ship. You know, you got to be full of vigor and action and passion and vision, and you're heading for your goal, and you're rallying your supporters around you. I think that he and many other religious figures are much more willing to call a spade and ask, whereas a lot of our nonprofit leaders are a little bit more namby-pamby. They're a little bit more academic. They're a lot more polite, perhaps. And they back off, I think, when it comes time to be really urgent and sort of drum up the masses and get everybody fired up to really help out, step up to the plate and help out.
Yeah.
But I was reading his email that he posted, and it was really interesting because he did some things that I think nonprofits should copy, if you want me to mention those.
Sure, let's hear what do you think he did well that would help a lot of people? Probably, I know people listen to us that are running nonprofits. Like, I know a couple of people out there that are struggling. What would you say they can do?
Yeah, and by the way, you've probably got some people out there who are serving on their local PTA board or the Boy Scouts troop, mm-hmm. or, you know, so many Americans or people all over the world are involved in volunteer fundraising in one way or another. So here's some things he did that I really liked. He used the word I and you in the very first sentence. He said, I need your help right now. And, you know, a lot of solicitations you get, they go, oh, our organization needs help from its supporters. They're sort of very polite. They don't want to come right out and be personal. And I think that that personal approach really speaks to people and gets their attention really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing he did, he was very specific about what he needed the money for. And I work with nonprofits all around the country and actually the hemisphere. And, you know, it's amazing how difficult it is to really pinpoint exactly what you're raising money for. And he was very explicit. You know, he said we need our Bible studies need X amount and our African mission needs a certain amount, you know. And so the donor had confidence that the money they were giving was going to go directly to help an important, urgent cause. So maybe all of our nonprofit friends can be a little bit more explicit, a little bit more passionate, and real much more direct, I think, would make everybody more successful.
Yeah. For you doing and consulting in this field for a while,
yeah,
is this one of
yeah.
the toughest times that you've ever seen for fundraising because of the economy?
Ooh. Yeah, it really has. It's just nonprofits have taken a terrible hit this year because they, you know, they get money from government sources and the government gifts have plummeted and foundation and corporate gifts have plummeted. The one sector that's still keeping the nonprofit industry floating are individual gifts, just like you and me and your listeners. So I hope everybody out there made their end of the year gifts to their favorite causes.
Boy, no kidding. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
Fascinating stuff. I love I love your advice. The I need your help and be specific because I agree with you. I find the same thing that people dance around what it is and they're too vague and you don't know what it is.
And you know, I'll tell you something else that happens in nonprofits. And I'm sure you're familiar with this. There's this thing called management by committee.
Right.
And, you know, the fundraiser may be enterprising and smart and snappy, and they create this really dynamic appeal. And then the management start, oh, we don't want to offend anybody. And then the board members read it, and they, you know, if there's one board member who doesn't like it, then they end up watering it down. I see that a lot with some of my clients.
Yeah, that's a big problem. I guarantee it. I have seen it. Gail, thank you so much for joining us on America Tonight. Check Gail out at GailPerry.com. You take care. She gave you some great advice. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to talk about pirates with Ken Miller. Fascinating stuff there, too. That's up around the bend.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and
I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. See your doctor for checkups and call for a free bottle of Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that helps your body support prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including your sleeping habits and intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. And Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same plant sterols found in one Beta Prostate. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. To get your free bottle of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201. This offer is for one free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201.
How much did we talk about those pirates and that situation with the captain and all the various ships that were coming through that little portion, that little horn of Africa where the Somalia pirates were picking them off one by one. And it seems so ridiculous to me to say that you have these big nations and you have these rogue band of pirates who are holding people captive and giant ships captive. I mean, did we not talk about this forever on America Tonight? So I'm so psyched about our next guest. He's written an interesting book that kind of melds a couple of things together. His name's Ken Miller, and the book is called Langata Rules, Pirates at Lat 10, and it mixes in so much of where we went, those shipping lanes, if you will, that we went down on America Tonight for months. And I'm not even really, we're just scratching the surface here. I'm not even doing Ken justice because there's so much to dive into here. Hey, Ken, how are you?
Kate, I'm great. How are you?
I'm excellent. And it's true. We were talking about this so much. And so I wonder, what was it that, you know, obviously, for such a chunk of your life, you were Mr. Political Science at UC Santa Barbara, and you worked on various national and local political campaigns, and you know, you've got experience with media, running a company, etc. I can see how you could pull this all together for this book. And I love, by the way, the fact that you're sharing, I found this out today, that you're sharing some of the money, some of the royalties from the book with a thing, organization rather, called Fabric of Life. Tell everybody what that's about, Fabric of Life.
Yeah, thanks. And the tie with the Rick Warren story you had just a few minutes ago, I think, is lovely. Fabric of Life goes to Africa, and now they're starting to go to other parts of the third world, and they work with young women and girls who have just come in from the country, and they're trying to figure out how to stay alive in these big cities. And mostly the choices are begging and prostitution. It's pretty ugly. And so Fabrica Life goes in and they do micro lending, where like for $15, they help a group of girls buy a sewing machine. They teach them how to do fabric arts, and then they create a cooperative business. And now these girls and women are selling fabric in the United States and Canada and around the world. And they've got projects in, I guess, about a dozen countries now. There are a lot of nonprofits doing it. These folks I happen to know, they're based up here in Washington State, and they do great work.
Yeah, well, that's terrific. Good for you. Bravo. We'll have
Thanks.
To have somebody on from that organization. At one point, and this was, I think, recently, because how long has Fabric of Life been around?
I want to say 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
A woman named Carol Chilios founded it in Mali, I think, was the first location. And now they're in Vietnam and a number of African countries, the Honduras. You know, the poverty in some of those places pretty awe-inspiring. And you look at the life expectancy, the abuse that women and girls are exposed to. There's a lot government can do, but there's a lot government cannot do. And that's where groups like Fabrica Life and Rick Warren and a whole bunch of other not-for-profit organizations can step up and make a big difference.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. All right, so tell us about, let's go back to this novel. And
yeah.
I get your background, and I understand where you were going with the book, but what made you decide to jump into this fray and use the comparisons with the pirates, etc.?
Well, I had a character, Drew Alexander. He's this sort of 28-year-old, slightly embittered British guy, well-educated. He's served in Britain's MI6. You know, to me now, Katie's almost like a real person, so forgive me if I get a little carried away talking about him. It's probably unhealthy mentally, but it's, you know. And so he's the troubleshooter for a British shipping firm that sort of operates on the margin.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you that as I started writing this book, I lost track of what I was making up and what was real. Because it turns out that, sure enough, there is a segment of the international shipping business that sort of operates in the gray space. You know, it's a little bit hard to keep track of them. The ships change names, they change flags, maybe the accounting isn't all up to snuff. And so Drew works for one of those kind of firms. And so I was looking for his first adventure, and then all of a sudden this stuff started jumping off the page. I mean, I think that you were probably one of the first national media people to figure out that this is a real trend. It's not like an isolated incident. Because for a while it was like, oh, there's a pirate story, and then there's another pirate story. Well, one day I read about pirates seizing a freighter full of weapons, and I was like, what the heck? And it's not like shotguns, right?
Right.
They're taking shoulder-mounted rocket launchers, armored vehicles. They suddenly have the capability to run a small army. And in a country like Somalia, by the way, half the piracy in the world takes place off the coast of Somalia. More than 300 incidents a year take place around the Gulf of Aden and now into the Indian Ocean. But that's an aside. So what happens to those weapons all of a sudden has the potential to affect the political stability of countries far away. You put those things on a truck and ship them inland, and you could disrupt any number of countries.
Yeah, Ken, don't you think, I mean, to me, the piracy is really absolutely some sort of form of terrorism, I think.
I agree exactly. And Congressman Adam Smith, who chairs the House Subcommittee on Terrorism, was good enough to write a foreword to the book, and he makes exactly that point. He says that these guys, they may not have a political ideology, but in terms of disrupting the rule of law and creating chaos, they are as big a contributor as some guy who gets on a plane bound for Detroit or tries to drive a truck into an embassy.
Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, when we look at what's happening with especially that area, the Gulf of Aden, et cetera, that we've been talking about, now it's certainly, you would have to say, and I'm sure, and this ties in, too, with your book, I mean, it's changing, really, the way shipping, modern shipping is being done because it's costing so much more to either avoid it or you decide, flip a coin, let's take the risk and go through, right?
Good for you. You nailed it. I calculated that just in terms of oil and gas products, the average American family is going to pay $100 more this year because of what the oil freighters are paying for insurance, for longer routes, to armor themselves, hazard pay for their crews, etc. Insurance for those ships has gone up 500% in some cases.
Yeah, crazy. We know, obviously, you hope that people embrace, again, your character that you love, Drew Alexander, in this.
Yes.
But what else do you hope that people take away, Ken, from the book?
I want, first of all, I'd like to dispel the idea that these pirates are cute. You know, there are blogs out there that I read, and people are saying, oh, they don't hurt anybody, and they seem to be polite. You know, it's like Robin Hood. They steal from these rich oil companies. Well, I don't think so. You know, this isn't like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. These guys are a serious threat to the rule of law. And it's not just a one-off thing. It's a systematic, it's organized crime with boats. So that's one thing. The other is that there's just this entangled knot of government and military and business and poverty, because some of that same poverty we talked about, Kate, at the beginning of the show, is what ultimately creates a breeding ground for bad guys.
Yeah.
And so, again, to go back to Congressman Smith's foreword, we've got to use both fists. On the one hand, we absolutely have to shut them down. Whether you call it a police action or it's a military intervention, they simply can't control the shipping lanes.
I agree.
Okay? Long term, however, we have to somehow change the conditions in which those young people, because most of these pirates are, they're like teenagers.
Yes, exactly.
We have to change the conditions in which they live so that they feel that they're viable alternatives to being gangsters.
Yeah.
It's not a whole lot different than going to an inner city. Kate, are we on?
Yep.
I heard music.
It's
going
okay,
to an
not
inner
that
city
much different.
And looking around and saying, boy, if I grew up here, I'd be sort of hopeless.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. I love that comparison. And to return the compliment, you nailed it, my friend, definitely. Ken, would love to have you back on again. Thanks so much for coming on to America Tonight.
Kate, I enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right, Ken Miller, pick up his book, Langada Rules, Pirates at Lat 10, Odds and Ends, next.
This is an emergency alert. People don't die of H1N1 infection. They die from system-wide intoxication and toxic shock. Doctors call it the cytokine storm following infection and immune hyperstimulation. Vaccines with immune stimulants or toxic drugs chemicalize your body, adding to your death risk. Prevent death and reverse diseases from infections, vaccinations, and drug toxicity. Call this number to get my free special report about the flu and what to do to save lives, maybe even your own. I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. Order Zeolite, the world's most powerful broad-spectrum detoxifier, immune system guard, and vaccine cleanse. Avoid vaccinations and drugs. Use Zeolite and OxySilver Hydrosol instead to detox and de-germ your body. Stop the shock of toxicity and preventable deaths. Call 1-888-KO-GERMS. That's 1-888-KO-GERMS. Or visit zeolife.net and oxysilver.net and order your free report and package special.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AaronAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AaronAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AaronAqua.com. That's Air and AQ. UAAqua.com or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AaronAqua.com. Purify your life today.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
I have about 15 wild food guides on my bookshelf, which left me wondering if I even needed another book. Boy, was I wrong. My knowledge exploded to an entire universe of wild foods.
In olden days, it was the norm to know which plants are edible and which are not.
Dear Linda, just wanted to let you know I received your book today.
Wow. I watched the DVD last night. I was awestruck. What wonderful work you have done. This information can bless many people. Thank you. Again.
Thanks again.
Your book has given me the most hope and inspiration. Thank you.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
Underneath the hood, when we hear stuff like this, Americans that are being held in Pakistan are defending the jihad plans. Yeah, right. We'll tell you about that story here in just a second. I mentioned this one on the air on our last show in Afghanistan. That roadside bomb killed 4 troops. Boy, you hate it when you hear those headlines. And then ultimately, I was explaining what had happened with some of those souped-up tanks that were terrific. There's like 2 of them. They cost a gazillion dollars. Doesn't matter. It's ridiculous, whatever the cost is. But it has saved a lot of lives. Unfortunately, it cannot, these 2 tanks cannot comb every ounce of every road at every spot where we have soldiers who are trying to comb the area and trying to find the Taliban and snuff them out, if you will. So what happened was, you know, this is the first combat deaths, of course, of the year. And it happened when a British soldier died during a foot patrol also in another part south of the country. So unfortunately, NATO put out a press release about it very, very late. And the details are this. Ultimately, the explosion happened on Sunday in that south area. And like I said, these are just the first fatalities of the year. 1 service member died of non-combat causes before that. And the Afghan insurgents, of course, are continuing to turn to the IEDs, the roadside bombs. Of the 304 U.S. military deaths in Afghanistan last year, 129 were due to those IEDs. Oof. Boy, oh boy. And so here's another part of this. They discovered a huge mountain or cache of pot, and they turned it over to the cops for destruction, and they say it had about, you know, whatever, 800 cubic meters of marijuana. If you wanted to try to figure out in your head what are cubic meters, it's about seven standard semi-trailer sizes of marijuana. Wow. So, and we're worried about poppy fields? So that's the whole deal, right, with the poppy fields, et cetera. I mean, it's the leading, Afghanistan is the leading opium producer. And, of course, a number of these farmers have also turned to marijuana, but not getting a lot of attention because most of it is over the whole heroin deal and what's produced there. So, sadly, not a lot of details. IED, four servicemen killed, and apparently there was some miscommunication as to specifically what happened and what they can release. But it was, again, in that south of Kabul, that area that is that is riddled with the Taliban, where it seems like they know every move of NATO, of whatever anyone's doing, they seem to know the move. Oh, there's a couple of U.S. troops down there. They know it. Somebody's tipping them off, whatever, but it's definitely very, very dicey there. Let's go across the border to Sam in Montreal. Hey, Sam, you're on with Kate on America Tonight. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing simply fantastic. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. Just to let you know, first of all, Steve's parents right now, my brother and sister-in-law, are in Israel visiting him, and they're also there for family affair. My sister-in-law has a sister there, and she's marrying off a son, and you know who's performing the ceremony.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Anyway, no, because I was talking to Steve, you know, just to make sure his parents made it okay. And we were talking about what, the prime minister decided by, you know, putting it, sorry to just get off the subject for, you know, for half a second.
Mm-hmm.
But the prime minister okaying putting in new housing in East Jerusalem. I asked him very bluntly, you think that'll kill the priest? Peace process, he goes, dead and buried.
Really?
That's the way he put it.
And he's right there. He's the eyes and the ears, so to speak, on the ground.
Right, right, mm-hmm. Right. And he said, I said, are you 100% sure, dead and buried? He goes, even my left-wing, because he's got a couple of friends who are left-wing.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yep. And he said some of his left-wing friends, hopefully they're just talking. They'd like to shoot BB.
Wow, yeah. So how about that? Not as popular as one would think.
Well,
some real controversy.
Right. In fact, he's even asking the lady who was going to be prime, you know, they were talking about her, some mm-hmm. of her people coming over to join his coalition. They're all saying no, but he's, of course, Benjamin Netanyahu is claiming this is good for Israel, and I'm thinking, okay, yeah, for me it's yes and no. It could be good because, you know, Israel, you know, Jerusalem's getting bigger, but at the same time, you did it without talking. You just sort of like said, okay, we're taking over Jerusalem. We went to East Jerusalem, whether you like it or not. So
yeah, it's going to be, things are really starting to heat up in Israel and around Israel.
Right.
And you can point to a couple of different things, including, obviously, Ahmadinejad and always the threat that looms with Iran.
You don't want to know what Steve calls them would probably get you you sanctions from the FCC. But
I understand.
Yeah. So, well, but basically, Ahmadinejad, if I had my choice of either someone killing Bibi or Ahmadinejad,
mm-hmm.
you know who you'd rather kill first.
Ahmadinejad.
Yeah, of course. You know, mm-hmm. That's a no-brainer. And, of course, then we talked about other things that are near and dear to you. He did see the game, but he didn't see it live. He saw it, you know, Saturday night on an Internet site. He said, wow, that is cool. He saw it from the Canadian broadcast. And what the broadcast, the guy named Jimmy Houston who was doing a play-by-play. At the end of the period, they blew a horn. In Canada, what you would do when kids were playing outdoor hockey, instead of blowing a horn, you'd yell, supper!
The Canadian version is just always so much better, no matter what.
Yes.
Whether you're getting the real stuff somewhere in one of the provinces or whether you're watching it on the tube,
which
it's just 10 times better.
Which I will be watching tomorrow night for the final of the World Junior Hockey Championships.
And I'm going to be watching it, too, so you'll have to call me and we'll talk about it afterwards.
Yeah, you get. You mean in Dallas they actually get the NHL Network?
Yes, you actually get it.
I am, with all due respect to the great state of Texas, I am totally shocked. Well, no, okay, let me rephrase that. Dallas does have something much I wish they had, a hockey team.
That's right. But you know what they say down here, don't mess with Texas. Hey, Sam,
yes.
You take care. Thanks, man.
Okay, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. 800-259-5791. That's the number to jingle if you want to chime in on anything. You can certainly do that. Like this one. I don't understand. You know, we've been talking about what happened Christmas Day. We keep re-racking that. As a result, now stricter regulations for 14 different countries where people are flying in from Nigeria, for example, or Saudi Arabia or Afghanistan or Iraq and whatever, that they're going to have to be subject to pat-downs or searching what they would take with them on the plane. So now all of a sudden we're doing that. And it made me think, did we just completely skip over what happened with the 9/11 Commission? Did we forget about any of the recommendations? Do you get a feeling that nobody was paying attention? While you were sleeping, here's what happened all these many years later. I think so. I think someone is definitely asleep at the wheel. And it made me think of that because a federal appeals court upheld, thank goodness, the conviction of Zacharias Moussaoui. Remember, he is the only person who ever stood trial in a U.S. court for the September 11th attacks. And they rejected the arguments that he was denied any kind of access to evidence and the right to choose his own attorney. He's serving life, as you all know, in a prison in Colorado after he pled guilty to helping plan the attacks. There's questions as to what his involvement was, but regardless, since his sentencing, he said he lied when he testified that he plotted to hijack that fifth plane back in 2001. So here's the thing. Moussaoui is not a good guy. Moussaoui somehow wanted to be right in the thick of this. There's no question about it. He was the guy who, in the courtroom, would scream out, Allah Akbar, I mean, at the top of his lungs. He did it a couple of times. And, of course, you had distraught family members who are just clinging to anything after they lost a husband, a wife, a son, and they were seeing this via closed-circuit TV, or even a few, I believe, were in the courtroom, too. And it seems like it's happened so long ago, but it hasn't really been that long since Moussaoui was in court. You know, we're talking a couple of years. Now this appeal goes through, and thank goodness nothing was overturned there. You know, Moussaoui can argue all he wants about his attorney, etc., in the lower court, saying they screwed up when they concluded his guilty plea was knowing and voluntary because the court didn't do a competency hearing before accepting his plea. So, of course, they rejected the argument. I think Moussaoui was looking for fame and hoping that he would become a big-time martyr and would be revered by so many other, I guess, would-be jihadists. And I guess he's not feeling that love. Instead, he's in a windowless spot at a supermax-fed prison in Colorado, and that's where he belongs. Hey, speaking of prisons, coming up, we have a dungeon moment. Yeah, that's coming up in our next segment. I don't think you're going to have any clue as to who I'm going to shove in the dungeon. This is a really good one. You don't want to miss it. If you're cruising around, sit in your driveway, you just pulled up, sit there for a few minutes because you're going to die when I tell you this story. I was shocked. I heard earlier today about it, and it, immediately I thought of the dungeon. So that's coming up around the bend here on ATN.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Originally, we the people have entrusted government to be the guardians of currency, to ensure purity, content, weights and measures of gold and silver coins citizens would use for commerce. This reinstalled confidence after the demise of the fiat continental system, wisdom being lost with time. The government we once entrusted to protect from counterfeit has colluded with private business, creating the largest fiat counterfeiting scheme our country ever experienced. This is not only a transfer of power to an institution that is not accountable to our elected government, but has also caused the dollar to lose more than 90 cents of its original value. Now foreign governments are trying to divest themselves from this once world reserve currency. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm offering a book that explains how the system works. Call me today at 800-686-2237. I will give you a silver dollar free just for purchasing the book. Call today at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
A revolution in smoking is underway. A revolution all smokers of traditional cigarettes should know about. Keep listening for a special offer from PowerVapor.com. Standard tobacco cigarettes contain over 4,000 harmful chemicals. Now it's time to release yourself from the grip of big tobacco and experience true smoking freedom. PowerVapor.com is an e-cigarette with the look, feel, and smoke of a real cigarette, but with no tar, no carbon monoxide, and no bad odors. Power Vapor's e-cigarettes deliver just the right amount of nicotine in a water vapor that looks and feels like real smoke. Yes, you choose from four levels of nicotine, and that puts you back in control. Plus, you'll enjoy eight flavors and big savings over traditional cigarettes. Get the facts and see our demonstration video at PowerVapor.com. That's PowerVapor.com. Log on to PowerVapor.com right now for a special 10% discount and 30-day money-back guarantee. PowerVapor.com, the smoking gun heard round the world.
Yes, the perfect gift for the golfer. That was on that holiday list. You can pick up your copy of Damage Control from top golf instructor Dave Pels. It'll help any golfer eliminate up to 5 shots per round using scientifically proven techniques available wherever books are sold, of course. Or you'll be able to get your own copy right here, courtesy of America Tonight. Now, check this out. Select winners will qualify for an enrollment certificate for a one-day Dave Pels scoring golf clinic, an original Pels pitching wedge, and a practice stick of 24 almost golf balls. Pels is the name to trust for your short game and putting. Visit PelsGolf.com. It's PelsGolf, of course, .com today, and start your path to lower scores. Let me just tell you, as an aside, a couple of years ago, I happened to take the one-day clinic. It was incredible. Now, I've said this a few times, but Dave Pels is amazing. And if you don't golf, but you know somebody who does, boy, you got to pass it. You got to pay it forward for sure, because it's just incredible information, no question about it. Exciting stuff here in America Tonight. Speaking of exciting, this is pretty exciting. We haven't had a dungeon in a while. I've been feeling pretty generous, but this one I just felt I could not ignore. You know, there's so many bad guys, as I call them, that we could throw in the dungeon, and we do. and so many idiots that we could also shove in the dungeon, and we do. But this time, it's just purely about the circus that is called reality TV. So check this out. Donald Trump is talking about The Celebrity Apprentice, saying it's the best ever, and he says the star power of the cast blows Dancing with the Stars away. I don't have a problem with Trump tooting his own horn, because he always does, and he's good at it, right? But the choice of the participants, they got 14 of them. You know who's on this list? Where did you hear this list? The list includes the comedian actor Sinbad, okay, the Australian television chef Curtis Stone, yeah, who cares, Carol Leifer, the comedian, author, was a girlfriend of, I think, David Letterman for a long time, of course, a very long time ago. Former Poison vocalist Bret Michaels also on that list. And then baseball great way back when, Daryl Strawberry. Cyndi Lauper is on the list. Michael Johnson, the Olympic gold medal sprinter, is on the list. Sharon Osbourne, probably tired of her daughter getting all the publicity, is on the list as well. Holly Robinson Pete is there. So there's a whole slew of them. But here's the one that really bugged me. I could care less. I don't watch this show. But just because it's one of those, you got to be kidding me. The former Illinois governor, Rod Blagojevich, is going to be on the Celebrity Apprentice show. It's like the 15 minutes of fame in this country. Ridiculous. The dirty pool in Chicago politics just keeps on giving, baby. No matter where the tentacles reach, now here we are on this Celebrity Apprentice show, and it's come to that. Remember, he's sitting charged with scheming, basically, to auction off President Obama's former U.S. Senate seat. Also, campaign fundraising abuse and a whole bunch of other things. So he was booted from office last January, and he denies that he did anything wrong, and the guy just keeps on getting gigs. Did a radio stint, filling in one day in Chicago. They were talking about dropping him in the jungle, and I think that was an NBC thing, too. So NBC is just desperate to pay this guy, to get him some more fame. Whether people make fun of him, whatever they do, doesn't matter. He keeps his name out there flourishing and in the headlines. So it'd be easy to throw the governor in there, the former governor, excuse me. But I think instead, how about these slimeball NBC execs? So without further ado, Donovan Madsen, will you open that dungeon?
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
See, and here's the thing, too. Of course, everybody wanted to know what he had to say about it. And he, you know, what he's saying is, look, you don't have to hide somewhere until you have your day in court. I want to fight back. So why not participate in Celebrity Apprentice? And this is my favorite comment of all. It's a wilderness period for me. Sometimes real opportunities develop in your life's journey that you can't really see when you're facing tumultuous times and the kind of storm that I'm facing. Really? So, while everybody and their brother is being subpoenaed as a result of wiretaps connected to Blago, he's saying it's, you know, a wilderness period for him, and he ends up with a television gig. Just annoys me to no end. So there you go. That's our dungeon moment. I don't know, Donovan. I mean, is it crazy? The hits just keep on coming. The more infamous you are, I think the more money you can actually make on the side.
I would be inclined to agree with you. It seems like people are becoming celebrities just for being celebrities, and the easiest way to cement that status is to do stupid and foolish things.
No kidding. Really, that's what it is. The more controversy you create, it's just the perfect example of that, besides this whole Governor Blago nonsense, is the Balloon Boy incident. You know, if you go to americatonight.net, and I do Blunder of the Day, and I'll post different things up there, it's been a while now for the Balloon Boy deal. Remember how everybody was following it and all the resources that were wasted on, oh, he could be the little boy, he could be in there, and oh, I hope he's okay, and Falcon, I hope he doesn't fall out, and look, it looks like the balloon is tilting, and, you know, all this ridiculous nonsense. And why? Because his father, his family craved the media spotlight, and they wanted to use this as an audition to get themselves some kind of a television show. Just like the party crashers in D.C. We want to be on the Housewives of D.C., so let's crash a State Department dinner, which is, first of all, the security issue aside, which is crazy. But yeah, let's crash this dinner, and this is how we will find our road to fame. And this is just happening. It's so scary. It's not just this oddball incident here and there. I mean, it's every day. You could go from the Octo Mom to Kate and John plus 8 and all that nonsense, and phew, crazy over the top. So, hey, that's the nature of the beast, I guess, right? That the controversy times 100 sells when there's so many other things that are going on in the world that half of these people probably have no idea about. All right, I mentioned at the top of the show, of course, about the airport screening and the new things that kicked in on Monday. It was the first day of what was supposed to be much tighter screening ordered by the U.S. for passengers from a bunch of different countries. I mentioned a few of them. It's obvious the ones that you would think of. You know, Saudi Arabia, as I said, was on the list, and Afghanistan, Iraq, Nigeria, etc. So are people really at the TSA, are they really following this enhanced technique? Because it would include full-body pat-downs, searching the carry-on bags, full-body screening, all that whole kind of stuff is, you know, that's some of the stuff that's being proposed, because certainly it's not available in every airport. Like, there's 19 test airports for the body scanning stuff. But at least the pat-down of the individuals was supposed to happen, and the luggage being inspected by hand with the international flight since the failed bombing deal. So you had passengers on a flight from Stockholm to Newark. They were patted down. They had their bags checked at the gate. And nobody was really singled out, I guess, for special attention. In Nigeria, one of the nations on the U.S. list for additional security, there were huge lines, I guess, on the first day of the new rules at the airport in the capital there. And they told people to show up for more than 7 hours ahead of a flight to get into the United States. Woo, how about that? So the guards there in Lagos, specifically, were wearing latex gloves, combing through the bags, spending, you know, I guess more than a minute on each one. We'll see if there's any kickback on any of this. You can send me your thoughts on airport screening or the ridiculousness of fame in this country or anything you want to throw me your two on at americatonight.net.
Promise me something, Finchie. Never breed.
I'll try.